Here we go. We're on Vavamud Beis. So when we last left our heroes, they were making virtual walls and whatnot. So we'll pick it up from the two dots. Shein l'shalosh tefanos. The Mishnah told us, in terms of all the things that make a sukkah kosher, makes a sukkah pasul, that it doesn't have three walls, the sukkah is pasul. What does it mean exactly, three walls? That's what the Gemara wants to know. This is a pretty straightforward Gemara. There's nothing fancy, nothing complicated, nothing to get lost on this. Even to catch up, if you're pretty far behind, it should be pretty easy to catch up. Tanya Rabbanan. You know what they call 2,000 pounds of rabbis? A ton of Rabbanan. Anyway, sorry. It's a Talmud joke. Tanya Rabbanan, rabbis taught, Shtayim Kehilchasan. If you have two, you require two walls, Kehilchasan. What does it mean, Kehilchasan? Well, it doesn't mean 10 Tvachim high. Yeah, so what does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean 10 Tvachim high, right? For sure it's 10 Tvachim high. That's what we've been discussing. So what does it mean, Kehilchasan? Well, whatever you're going to say is necessary for the length of your sukkah, right? Because what is the contrast? Vishlishis, but the third one, Afilu Tefach, can be only a Tefach. So in other words, two walls, you have to have some kind of V at a right angle. You have to have two walls that are appropriate lehalacha. It can't just be a tefach, it has to be a full wall. So we discussed in the past, the minimum shear for a sukkah. Remember, the Yehuda insisted that had to be 4x4 amos. But we saw the other opinion was it was 7 tefachim. So two of them have to be kehalacha, the shlishis, but the third one can be even a tefach. So that's seemingly that's the majority opinion. Mishimen Oimer, Shalish Gehil Chasan. No, you need three if the appropriate length. Verevias Afilu Tefach. And it's only the fourth that can be a Tefach. And that's the end of the quote from this Braisa. Asks the Gemara, B'maika Mifligi, about what are they plag? Are they arguing? Plag literally means what? To separate. Dor ha-flaga. Right? We'll get to that pretty soon when we start over with Bereshis. The generation of the dispersion. So plag means to separate, to split in half. So b'maikam b'fligi, what are they splitting about? What are they arguing about? Rabbanan savri yesh eim lamasoyres. The Rabbanan savri, Rabbanan reason, they hold yesh eim lamasoyres. The mother goes by the tradition. What does that mean? Yesh eim lamasoyres. The contrast is Rishim and Savriyesh Aim Lamikra. That it goes, we follow the written version or the Mikra, the Pasuk itself. So what's going on over here? So there are two approaches. It has nothing to do with Pshat. This all has to do with Drashos. We know that a lot of times in Chumash, you have a word that has a Vav, and that very same word in a different context may be missing a Vav. What do we call those? Chaseros and Yeseros. We learned, if you remember, we touched on it last year when we were doing Kiddushin, where the Gemara actually said we're no longer experts in Chaseros and Yeseros. Do you remember that? We're not Bekian anymore, Chaseros and Yeseros. And I think at the time we saw the Shagas Aryeh that says that may be an interesting problem for the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah Bizman Hazeh. Because if we're no longer experts in Chaseros and Yeseros, can you really fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah anymore? Now, we know all the words, we know all the consonants, that's not a problem, but you can have a word that maybe it should have a vav, maybe it shouldn't have a vav, and apparently we're no longer experts in that. Now, this Gemara is assuming that there are certain times that we are. Because apparently, sometimes the word sukkah is written with a vav, or maybe two vavs, and sometimes it's written without. So that doesn't change the meaning, because at the end of the day, it is what it is. Whatever the nekudos are the nekudos, whether you see a vav or not, the vav is not necessary. It's what they call bizman as a vowel letter. It's just there to carry the vowel, but it's not necessary in terms of the concept. It's not part of the shorish.
You see the word two vavs.
What?
The word sukkah with two vavs.
Su goes.
Oh, I
know. Right? Or you could have sakis.
Does it make it like a difference in metric wise? That's what it says.
A difference what?
Gematria-wise.
I mean, theoretically.
Theoretically, yes. But like, as we're like avoiding like on the fact that like the difference between single with a vav without a vav actually makes it.
You know the story of the Vilna Gaon, no? The guy came to the Vilna Gaon. He wanted to be tested on Masech HaSukkah. So the Vilna Gaon asked him, "How many times does it say a sukkah kshera in the Masechta?" I'll roll that. You know, like, you ask me information. How many times is that? How many times is it psula? So the Vilna Gaon apparently said that the amount of times that it says sukkah kshera and I think sukkah mullin with a vav. The gematria of sukkah with a vav. And sukkah psula is the amount of times if you think the gematria of sukkah without a vav. I leave it up to you to figure out if that's true or not. But that's what he said based on, you know, the mullay chaser. So the Gemara says there are two ways to look at how to make a drasha on plurals. Do you take into account the vavs, or you don't take into account the vav? Because the way that it's read is always with a vav. But the way that the Masaira has it, the Masaires, is that it doesn't necessarily have that vav at all. In this case, Tchaser, it doesn't. So when you're trying to make drashas, as we'll see in a minute, so how do you make your drasha? You make your drasha based on the way it's pronounced, which is irrelevant if the vav is there or not. Or do you make it specifically the way that it's written, the Masaira, the way it's supposed to be written in the Sefer Torah, which we're no longer Bekiyan in, but in times of the Gemara, when the drashas were made, they were. So do you go by the way that it's written in the Sefer Torah, in which case, maybe you have to treat it as if it's a singular and not a plural. Like Sukkas, as opposed to Sukkos, because the way it's spelled, the way it's written in the Torah, that's called the Masaira. So the Rabbanan hold, Yeshem Lamasaires, we follow, the drushes follow the way it's written in the Chumash itself. We go by, our drushes follow the way that it's read. Rabbanan Sabri, where it explains. Rabbanan Sabri, Yeshem Lamasaires, we go by the way it's written in the Sefer Torah, Basukas, Basukas, Basukos. That in the Psukim, it says Sukas twice. It's not really Sukas, it's just Sukos. But it's written without avav two times, and then one time it's written with avav. So the pasuk says, "Basukois teishvu shivas yomim, kol haezrach biYisrael yeshvu basukois, laman yedu dareseichem ki basukois oishavti es bnei Yisrael butzias ameretz Mitzrayim." So in those two psukim, you find the word sukos three times. Two out of the three are chaser, and one out of the three is malay. Therefore, what? There were Rabbanan hold Yeshem Lamasaires, Basukas, Basukas, Basukos. You have one plural and two singular. So therefore you have one plus one plus two. Yeah, did we follow that? Singular, singular, plural. So Sukkas means one Sukkah. Sukkas, the second time means the second one. And then the third time it's written is double, is plural. So therefore that's considered two Sukkos. So we have four Sukkos. Harekan Arba. Behold, here we have four. Dal chad legufe, take one away that you can't make a drasha with, because, well, I mean, it's got to say sukkah one time, you know, just to know what we're talking about. So one doesn't count towards drasha. So you have three left. What do you need it for? What do you need so many plurals, so many references, so many sukkos? So the answer is pashu, lahu, tlasa. Remaining of them is three. So you have three sukkos left. What's the point of that? Shtayim, kehil chasan. Two of them have to be a regular wall of a sukkah. It references two walls of a sukkah. V'asa hilchasa comes along the halacha l'moshe misinai. That's what hilchasa means. V'asa comes along hilchasa halacha l'moshe misinai. Migarasa lishlishis. And it lowers, it reduces. The third, the okma, from okim, kum, and stands up and establishes it, atefach, as being only a tefach. So is that, did we follow that? It's all drasha. It's all remuzin. So because you find that there a reference to sukkah basically four times, singular, singular, plural. So one time it's just there because, well, you got to know we're talking about a sukkah. So that's to say it once. You can use it for drasha. But three times is there to tell you that there are three walls of the sukkah that are necessary. But of those three walls, there's halacha l'moshe misinai, apparently, that one can be a tefach. So two of them, you're stuck, you have to have regular walls. But the third one, the halacha Moshe Misinai tells you, can be only a tefach. That's the opinion of the majority opinion of Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon HaMikra, Rabbi Shimon holds, no, you go by the way that it's pronounced. It's always pronounced the same, basukois, 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 which would be three plurals. So three times two is
six.
Harekan Sheish, behold, here is six. Dal chad kra legufe, he agrees, you take one away for itself, meaning that you should just know you're talking about a sukkah. Pashu lahu remains from it, arba, are four. Shalosh kehilchasan. So three you don't have a choice about. Three have to be regular kalacha. And asa hilchasa comes along halacha mishusina megarasa the revius and reduces the fourth. For okimta atefach, and okim and establish stands it up, establishes it, atefach as being only a tefach. So that's the first explanation of the Gemara. The Gemara, I think, has four different explanations what they're arguing about. Who's arguing? The Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. So everyone agrees what they say. The machlokes is how they get there. How did they derive it? What everyone agrees that they say is that the Rabbanan hold a sukkah can be two walls plus a tefach. Rabbi Shimon holds, no, sukkah has to be three walls plus a tefach. And the Gemara now has, I think, four opinions how exactly they came to that conclusion. The first approach of the Gemara is that it has to do with yesh aim lemasayres, yesh aim lemikra. What do we follow in terms of making drashos? Do we follow the way that it's written in the Sefer Torah, the Masayres? Do we follow the way that it's pronounced? Now the Gemara has a second approach to what they're arguing about, how they derived it. Vi bayis, and if you want, aima, say, to kule alma, everyone, the whole world agrees, yesh aim lemikra, that we go by, we follow primarily the way it's pronounced. So you have six, right? And here, in this, they are arguing. Mar savar, one master holds, sichicha ba'ikra, sichicha means schach. The schach, boya, requires, needs, kra, a pasuk. Umar savar, sichicha lo ba'ikra. And one master holds, the schach does not need a pasuk. Which is very interesting, because, so apparently, Rashi, as we pointed out, if you remember, in Omid Aleph, way back when, Rashi pointed out, al shem haschach kari sukkah. The sukkah is actually called a sukkah because of the schach. So one of the sukkahs over here of the six, the first one we're taking out right away, because the first one you just got to talk about a sukkah, so it has to be written once. But you don't need all these plurals. So we need all the plurals for us. You have five of them to deal with. So one of them is talking about the schach. You need schach. It's considered one of the sukkahs over here. So you have one schach, and then how many walls?
Four.
Four, but what's
one
going to be?
Halach
l'moishu. See, it tells you it can only be, it only has to be a tefach. So if you hold that schach requires a pasuk, so then you take away one for itself, one for schach, and you're left with four. So that would be so one for schach, and then you're left with how does it work?
You had six. One is reduced by four.
One's for all the laws of sukkah.
It matters how you read the sukkah.
Here's where we're getting confused. It's not going to be five. Why is it not going to be five? Because when you take away one,
it's two.
You're left with only two words, sukkah. So you're left with four walls. Or four parts. Right.
There's three words that say sukkot.
Right.
Six. Take away one from the schach.
So you have four.
Now then one's taken away.
No. One you have to take away for itself.
Oh, one's taken away for itself.
Right.
Because it was
so now the question is, what are you left with?
Four.
So if you're taking away one of the plurals, you're left with five. We don't look at it that way. We take away one of the words sukkah.
Why?
But you're taking away two plurals.
This is so dumb. I'm going to be honest. This is kind of a crazy discussion.
Aren't you taking away two plurals? Because you're taking one for the schach and then one for all the other laws of sukkah, or no?
What do you mean?
I thought you're only taking one of the plurals away for schach, not the whole word.
Well, yeah. So let's try it. So let's see if it works.
If you do that, then can't you also take one of the plurals away for all the other laws of sukkah, or no?
If you're using it for something, you have to use it for something.
Yeah, any other law that's not, I mean, I'm talking about the schach. Or is the schach itself the laws around the sukkah?
All we want to know is that sukkah is referenced. Sukkah apparently is referencing the physical structure of the sukkah. So we're the Chazal are using it to understand how many walls are required. So we started off with two ways to look at it: mikra and masaris. So if and so, what are you going to get out of that? Whether it's six or four?
No, it's not going to be six. You mean it's either four walls or three walls, right? Whether you look at it as two of them are singular, like sukkah,
yeah.
You look at sukkah.
But if you have three plurals, then you have six.
Right, exactly. But then you gotta get rid of one of those words.
So that's what I'm asking. Are you getting rid of a word, or are you getting rid of one of the six?
Oh, no, you're getting rid of a word, but I thought that the word breaks down into two sukkahs.
Right.
So then each of Shal Sukkah is teaches something.
So depending on how you look at it, if you look at it as Masaras, you go by the way that it's spelled in the Torah, so this is 1, 1, 2. And if you look at it as a Shema Mikra, so then it's 2, 2, and 2. So now the Gemara is saying, okay, so what's the Gemara saying now? The second verse of the Gemara is the same as what? Kuli Alma, Yesh Aim, Lamikra, right? Which one is that? This one. So everyone agrees it really is 6. So then how do you get to the Rabbanan? Say, what do they say? And what do you need? You need 2 and a tefach. 2 plus tefach. And according to the Rishon, you need 3 plus tefach. So how do you get to that from 6? So originally we said, well, Rishon holds Yeshem Mumikra. So he ends up with 6. 1 is necessary for itself. What does that mean, 1? 1 of the 6? Or 1 of the words? So
1 of the 6. Because then can't.
No, because then he would be at 5.
Yeah, but then can you take another one for this spot?
No, it means he takes a word away one time and it says sukkah. It has to say sukkah somewhere. I mean, yeah, talking about sukkah. Okay, so you take away 2.
He takes a word and then.
So you're left with 4.
Right, so that works as Rabbi Shimon.
Right. So now the Gemara says everyone holds this. Which means everyone's going to take away 2 for, well, you have to say sukkah. So everybody's left with 4. So what are they arguing about? Whether or not 1 of the 4 is a reference to the schach. If it's a reference to the schach, then what are you left with?
3.
And 1 gets reduced to
a
tefach.
So it's 2.
So it's 2 and a tefach. So, and if you hold the schach does not need a pasuk,
3 and a tefach.
So then you have 4. What do you do with the 4? So it's 3, and the fourth one becomes a tefach.
So Rabbanan will actually take away an extra 1 from Sukkot. They'll take 1 of the plurals away plus the word to get 3.
1 of the words Sukkah gets taken away off the bat.
They'll take 1 of the plurals away to get 3. Because 1 of the plurals is indicating Sukkah, no?
Yes. Of the remaining 4, which is 2 words of Sukkah.
Right. And get 3.
Yeah?
Right, that makes
sense. Mayor, you with me?
Why does it need to take a whole word, though?
For the first principle of Ein Dorshin Tchilos, that we don't. So that's because the first time it says the word Sukkah, it just has to say the word.
No, but so I'm saying, why couldn't you just take Sukkah? Why couldn't you just take 1 of the plurals to teach all of that, and then take another plural to teach the Sukkah, and then you'd be left with 4? Like Rabbi Shimon.
I have to think about it more.
As in, why do you have to take a whole word to
right.
teach all
that? I understand what you're asking. The only question is if that has to do with Mikra Masura, or is it a separate issue altogether? So I'm not exactly sure. So then the Gemara says, that's a second possibility, how they came to their conclusions. The Iba Yisema, and if you want, say, Dekuli Alma Yesh Eim La Masuris. Everyone agrees the opposite way. That everyone agrees it goes by the way that it's written in the Torah, which means we'd only have 4. Okay. So then what's the Machlekes? How do you get to 2 and a tefach or 3 and a tefach? Again, here with this they are arguing. Mar Savar, one master holds kiyasa hilchasa, one comes along halach lamushmi sinai ligara, or ligareya, to take away. That's what we've been assuming the whole time. Umar Savar, another opinion holds, which is Rabbi Shimon, kiyasa hilchasa, one comes along halach lamushmi sinai lehoisif. What's lehoisif? To add, like musaf. Lehoisif. So that's different than everything we've been saying. Until now, we've been assuming halacha Moshe Mitzrayim everyone agrees to. Now it's unusual that they're arguing over the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim if it's coming to take a root to reduce something or it's coming to add something. That's a very significant machlokas. We don't usually expect to have such a significant machlokas over the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim.
Reducing or adding the slav.
The wall.
Is
it reducing a wall to a tefach, or it's adding? It's adding a tefach. The Iba is saying, and if you want, say the Kuli Alma Kiyasa Hilchas Aligar. Everyone agrees Alach Moshe Mitzrayim is the Gareyas to take away, because that's what we'd rather say. We'd rather say that everyone agrees about the Alach Moshe Mitzrayim. We shouldn't be arguing over Alach Moshe Mitzrayim over here. V'yesh eim l'maseres. And everyone also agrees that it goes by the way that it's written in the Torah. So you have four, and one of them is being taken away. So then shouldn't everyone should be in agreement now, right? That it's two and a tefach. And arguing over whether or not you have to take one away for itself, or if you can darshan the first one as well. So the Rabbanan hold, you have to take it away, because we aren't doresh, we don't explain techilos, the first one. Mar Savar, and Rishimon holds, ain darshan techilos, we don't, sorry, the opposite, it would be reversed. Mar Savar darshan techilos, and we do darshan the first one, which means that does count towards the count. That would be Shimon. And Mar Savar and Rabbanan would hold ain darshan techilos, but we don't darshan the first one, and therefore we have to take it away. So you're left with only three, and then it gets reduced to a tefach. Rav Masna Omer. Rav Masna said, "Time with Rav Shimon Mihocha." The reason for Rav Shimon is from here. V'sukah tiel tzel yoimah mecharev. That is a pasuk we saw originally when we were talking about the height of the schach. This is the same pasuk that a sukkah in the future, the sukkah will function for shade in the daytime. Mecharev lemechsel lemistar mizerem matar, from the sun. And it'll hide you away from the rain and the precipitation. What does that do with anything? What does it have to do with anything? What? Thoughts? So far we've been talking about drushes and halacha moshe misinai. Now he tells me because the sukkah is going to give you shade and it's going to protect you from the rain? Maybe. And that's only Rabbi Shimon's opinion? Rabbanan don't like that pasuk? Right.
So that's why it's coming to eliminate some of the options that we put forward.
Right. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi is the Mechsel Mister Vegoimer. It's close to the second to last Rashi on the page. Ubeloy Arba Mechizas, at least according to Rabbi Shimon, we have to figure out what the Rabbanan are going to do about this. But Rabbi Shimon points out, if you don't have four walls, Lav Mechsem Izeremu, it's not going to protect you from the rain. Sharuach Meshev Es Hazerem Derech Doifen Haparos, because the wind is going to blow in the rain from the open side. And what did Rabbanan do about that? Maybe it's not blowing. Maybe Zerim and Mimatar is all one thing. It's just a light rain. I don't know. Okay, anyway. But that's what Rav Masna says.
Does that end the discussion?
Yeah, because it's not... It's really, I mean, it's significant, but it's not so significant. So it's just a question of where they're coming from. At the end of the day, everyone agrees this is a machlokes if you need two walls on a tefach or three walls on a tefach.
It's still a machlokes.
Yeah, everyone agrees that's on the books. That's what they argue about. The only question is, like, where are they coming from? So the Gemara spends time trying to figure out how they came to that conclusion. Then the Gemara wants to know, so that tefach, that's the right two or three, and a tefach, where do you stand it up? So, I don't know, in our minds, I don't know what we were assuming, but the Gemara says, well, if you have two walls and a tefach, where's the tefach exactly? Where do you stand it up? Amar Rav, said, Ma'amidu keneged ha'yotze. You stand it up opposite the one that's sticking out. So, all the Gemaras have a picture in it. Bottom line is, if you're going to have your right angle, so the other tefach, you stand it opposite the other one that's sticking out. It doesn't make a difference on which side it is, as long as it's opposite the one of them that's sticking out. Amar Lei Rav Kahana V'Ravasi Lei Rav. So Rav Kahana V'Ravasi said to Rav, who just made this comment, Vayami Denu. Why don't we, literally, and you should stand it up, Kineged Rosh Tor, opposite what's called a Rosh Tor. So what exactly is a Rosh Tor? So Rashi writes Tor, remember I told you that the Tav and Shin switch a lot? So Shor and Tor. So here Rashi says this also, it means a Rosh Shura. It means the top of a row. And Rashi explains that basically if you have a field, so sometimes that's how it comes out, that the top rows of the field end up being at an angle. So said... They said to Rav, why would you put it like that where it looks like it's sticking out? If you've got this right angle, why don't you put it at an angle almost making like a triangle? So put your tefach here, and it looks like it's closing off the other side. So by making it look like a triangle, it actually looks like you're closing it up. But if you do it the way Rav is suggesting, I mean, it looks like it's an upside down hangman game, but it doesn't close off the whole area. So Vayami then went, stand it up, can I get a Rosh Torah, like you would the edge of the field, meaning Rashi writes at the end of the day, it means at an angle, like a triangle. Shasik, Rav. Rav was silent, which Yehuda really appreciated, because, I don't know, he wants someone to be quiet. But what does that mean, Shasik, Rav? So this Gemara, according to most of the Rishonim, is unusual. Here's a rule that this Gemara seems to violate. The rule is, whenever you find that someone was silent, it's because they gave in. They surrendered. Usually, Shasik Rav means, and Rav, you know, say acquiesced. He's like, okay, you win, you're right. They point out that based on how the Gemara continues, it seems like that's not what happened over here. Which would mean that if Rav is being quiet, he's not being quiet because he agreed to them, he's being quiet because he's like, oh, that's ridiculous nonsense. Which is the opposite of what Shasik usually means. So, file that away. Usually, Shasik someone means he lost the argument, he gave in to the other side. And here the Rishonim say it seems like that's not the pshat in our Gemara. It seems our Gemara is that Rav did not give in, he really was basically just ignoring them and saying, that's ridiculous. How do you see that? Itmar Nami, it said also, Omar Shmuel Mishmei de Levi, that Shmuel said in the name of Levi, Ma'amida keneged ha-yotze, just like Rav had said. You stand it up opposite the other one that's sticking out. V'chein marin be'midrasha, and that's how we hayro'a, we paskin in the base medrash, Ma'amida keneged ha-yotze, you stand it up opposite the other one that's sticking out. So we paskin like Rav originally said. So how could it be that Rav was masking and he put it at a triangle and then we don't even pass it that way and Shmuel and Levi, it's very strange. So it sounds like Rav was just writing them off. Rabbi Simon, Ritei Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Rabbi Simon and some say Yeshua ben Levi said, Oysa li tefach soichek, you make a happy tefach. What's a tefach soichek? A happy tefach? What does that mean? He was laughing. So if you take a look at Rashi, tefach sechek means moedadin bedalad etzpoz sheinam noegin zobazu. You measure it with four fingers that are not touching one to the next. That'd be tefach umashahu. It's a tefach in a teeny bit. So usually when we measure a tefach, you know, everyone just holds a fist like this. You just, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a fist or not. It's all the fingers touching. Tefach sechek means like this. So your fingers are not touching. It doesn't have to be like spread out like this, but it means a tefach and a mashahu. A little bit more than a tefach. Okay, so hold on. What are they saying? Oselo tefach socheg. You take a piece of wood or whatever your wall is going to be, you measure it. It has to be a little bit more than a tefach socheg. Uma midoy, and you stand it up. Bepachos, at less mishlosha tefachim than three tefachim, samuch ledofen. A little bit less than three tefachim close to the wall. Vechol pachos mishlosha, because anything that, and all that is less than three, samuch ledofen, close to the wall, kilavud, dummy, is like what we call lavud. You remember lavud? Lavud means it's like it's connected. So what's the idea behind this part? What's the word? So if you have your wall, and then you want to put your tefach over here someplace, so the distance that you're going to want between the wall and that tefach sochek is lavud. What are we accomplishing over here? To be lavud has to be within three tefachim. Within three tefachim. So you have a tefach hole, basically. And if it's within three tefachim, then how much do you have? So one plus a little bit less than three. So you don't have four. You have a little bit less than four. Are you with me? Yes? No? Is this thing on? You have a little less than four tefachim. So that would, if that's exactly level. So that says, no. The tefach to be a tefach soichek. So it's a little bit more than one. It's a little bit more than one plus a little bit less than three. So what are we getting to at the end of the day? What do we want out of this? And you have a full four tefachim. So this amount of that. What?
That's so not exact.
But it has to be leveled. That's the thing. We want it to be leveled, which is happening within 3 tefachim, but sticking out enough that we, if you take a ruler, you have 4 tefachim of a virtual wall. So that way, you have a full 4 tefachim there. Good? Why do we need 4 tefachim? Because 4 tefachim is most of 7. 4 tefachim is most of 7. So here we're saying,
there's a rule in Torah, basically, you know, rubo kakulo, that most is like all of it. Rubo kakulo, as long as you did the majority, so majority will cover you the rest of the way. What's the example that comes up? Halacha l'maase. Anybody here a shochet? Anybody want to be a shochet? Yes? No?
You cut the jugular, I guess, both.
Yes.
Through.
So in an animal, you have to cut what's called 2 simanim. You have to cut the windpipe and the esophagus. And in a chicken, you have to cut 1 of the 2. But either way, as long as you cut most of it, that's good. That's good. Where do you find that this came up, that someone actually had to cut most of it and not more than most of it? On Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was supposed to, the mitzvah was that he should do all the avodah. So therefore, he was going to shecht the animals. But it's a really big challenge to shecht an animal and catch the blood at the same time. So no problem. Let the Kohen Gadol do the shechita, and another Kohen will catch the blood. But then the Kohen Gadol's not catching the blood. And the mitzvah has been to do everything. So what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash was the Kohen would cut exactly to most, a teeny bit more than half, most of that simen in the animal. And then another Kohen would finish the job, well, and then switch, and then he would hold the cup to collect as much of the blood as the Kohen Gadol could do. So he's doing every single mitzvah of Yom Kippur. So that's what the Gemara says. This opinion holds that what you should do is, so again, until now what we said was, it's a tefach. It's a tefach, and that's it. Where do you put that tefach? You put that tefach in paskin, like this, so it's sticking out, opposite of the other one sticking out. There was a suggestion that it should be at an angle, like a triangle, but the Gemara, even though it says shasik rav, seems to say we don't hold that way. So that's why that shasik rav does not sound like he agreed and he was giving in. Sounds like he just ignored them because that's just not, no. No, just not the way it is. And then the Gemara has another opinion that says that what you should do is you should take your tefach, and it's not a tefach. Because what does a tefach do for you? You'll say, I don't know, it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What do you want from me? But this opinion holds, no, you take your tefach and you make it into the majority of 7. How in the world do you take 1 tefach and make it into the majority of 7? By making it a little bit more than a tefach and making it within 3 tefachim of the wall, which is lavud. So then it's virtually connected. So now you have 4 tefachim of a wall, at least a virtual wall, and that's most of 7. And that was really what the halacha Moshe Sinai apparently was supposed to achieve according to that opinion. We will stop at that dot for today.